Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and in the studio with me today is Sharon Epps, Executive Vice President of Content and Media for Crown Financial Ministries. Sharon, welcome back.
Looking forward to talking to every one of you.
We've got an exciting program today. We're going to talk about how to save big in 2010. Sharon, very practical, a program full of good tips.
Well, you know, as we start the new year, we all have big plans and big resolutions, and I've found the best way to carry those out is to start one thing at a time. So we hope today you'll find one thing that you can implement.
You know, Sharon, so many times I get emails from listeners who say, I give the guy perspective, especially when it came to gift cards. A lot of our listeners said, I just don't get it.
I didn't get to log in on that one, but I'll save that one for another program.
All right. Well, today you're going to give us a balanced perspective on some of these tips we're going to recommend for saving money in 2010. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, the women may also say that I'm here to point out where you need to be corrected, huh?
I think there's a lot of them that would amen that. Sharon, I got an email recently that I really thought hit home. He said, Dear Chuck, I just heard your program yesterday, and I truly enjoyed the insights you shared. The purpose of my correspondence, I've been married for 10 years. My wife refuses to be on a budget. She believes it's her money, and it's because she works for it. From your experience, is there an effective way to reason with a person with this attitude, everything is mine or yours? She did not express this until after the ceremony was over.
Ouch. What do you think,
Sharon?
Well, you know what? That's always so hard because you find that you're coming from a different worldview, a different perspective, and your normal coping skills and discussion skills don't work because you have a different perspective from the very beginning. So I really want to just encourage you to look to the Lord as the plan and the system versus what she did or what he did, but look at what God really calls you to do.
Absolutely, Sharon. And I know that so many people listening today identify with that same strain and stress. So the solution isn't to do it your way or to do it her way. It's to unify under God's way. And I would ask her that. And then secondly, I would recommend that you become a student of your wife and find out what is her true motivation. What would get her excited about joining you in a new way of managing your resources? So she may be allergic to a budget. She may want to just spend whatever she earns. But if you give her a goal, a plan, or something that speaks her love language, I think you can do it, and we want to help you do that. Well, Sharon, we're going to transition to a very practical topic today, how to save big in 2010. And I want our listeners to stay tuned because you've got a lot of ideas, I've got a lot of ideas, and we're going to lay them out when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and he says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective written by Austin Pryor. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. With me today is Sharon Epps, and we're talking about how to save big in 2010. And I'm going to go right to my list, Sharon. A new CNN Money article gave some great ideas and some that I, quite frankly, wasn't even aware and some that I was not even aware of. Here's one, cell phones. I did not know the average cost of an annual plan. What do you think it is?
You know what? I think it's somewhere in the $700 to $800 range.
Did you cheat?
Yes.
It's $780 a year, the average plan. Well, that means that it's over $50 a month, the average phone plan in America.
And, you know, that's a significant expense that most of us did not have at all in the last 5 to 10 years. So it's a new category.
Well, and it's happening where everybody in the family's got a phone, so it can really add up. But here's the aha. Consumer Reports did a study that said two-thirds of the people who carry a cell phone do not consume half of the minutes that they're paying for.
You know what? That surprises me, and it probably surprises them as well, because people often avoid their cell phone bill like the plague. It's so complicated to look at, and they may not even realize they don't have those minutes.
You know, I didn't think about it either, because I don't use a lot of minutes, and I realize there's rollover plans and there's alternatives to try to fix that. However, what they recommend is that you go to a website called BillShrink.com and compare your current cell phone plan with alternative plans that could possibly save you money. Now, to me, that's just pretty simple. Go there, plug in your plan, see what you can do to revise your plan or get a new one, and it looks like you could save up to 50% on your phone cost. And if you're paying for three or four cellular plans in your family, that's a lot of money.
Well, and when you add that to many of us still have home phones as well, the communication category of our budget becomes a lot larger than we really can handle.
By the way, do your kids have a landline and a cell phone?
Oh, no. Not my grown kids? No way.
No. And mine not only don't have a landline, their preferred method of communication is texting.
Absolutely.
If I want to get a hold of them, I need to send a text. I heard just recently that the average college student in America knows 40,000 words, but because of texting, they use 800.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing how it's shaping our culture?
It makes a complete difference.
Here's big saving tip number two, car insurance. The average premium a year for a car in America, guess what?
I have no idea.
You didn't cheat on this
one. I didn't cheat on this one.
$1,800 per year. That's $150 a month to insure one vehicle. So again, in a family with multiple vehicles, and I do know this, that the average person in America owns more than one car.
Yes.
And so that's a lot of money, and there's ways to save. You can get a discount if you tell your insurance company that you had good job stability, you've improved your education, or that you own a home, or you take a defensive driving course. All kinds of things. If you communicate with the company and they get the idea that you're not only a stable driver, have a good driving record, but you're a stable person, they will oftentimes lower the cost of your premium. And that's a way to save big on two really important consumer items.
We really recommend that you do an insurance checkup annually because of the fact that the market changes. Sometimes we're just lulled into keeping the same company year after year because it's the easiest thing to do. And it is a great opportunity for us.
Well, this is one of my favorites, is to save money in 2010 on entertainment. You know, I'm a non-TV person, and I just heard the news this week that the average American watches 4 hours of television per day.
I believe it.
Well, it's shocking to me. How I don't even know where they find 4 hours extra a day to sit in front of the TV. I must stay way too busy. But that's time that goes nowhere, and they pay a big fee to be able to have cable and all those channels and all the high def and everything that goes with that. So we're spending a lot of money on entertainment. And here's the big saving tip, that you can swap your old CDs, DVDs, and books for new, better upgraded stuff, and there are now websites that provide that avenue. So swapadvd.com and paperbackswap.com allow you to trade in the old and get something new. And apparently it's really catching on in a way to recycle the stuff that you don't use.
Well, you know, if you're like me, you have boxes and boxes of old DVDs and even VHS tapes that go unused that you probably only watched once or twice. And obviously some of those are out of date, but some really do still have value to others, and it's a great way of connecting for new resources.
Well, and you can also post it for sale online at places like Amazon, and they have a big market for used books there.
And, you know, don't forget the good old-fashioned library. What a great opportunity to go check out books, give them back, and you don't even have to worry about dusting them later.
We frequently check out movies from the library as well as books, so we can get some entertainment from there and watch those DVDs. Here's another tip. Get your discount tickets to concerts and sporting events online. Shop for them. Look for deals. A site called zebratickets.com is a place to look for coupons and discounts before you even go out for entertainment.
And, you know, that's probably, we can expand that even to talk about planning where you're going to go, even if it's not a concert. But if you plan ahead for restaurants, for movies that you're going to see, many times, if you just Google search online savings at XYZ restaurant, you can find coupons to take with you as you go. So that principle can be applied in other entertainment venues as well.
I don't know if you know the story of Ben Carson, the famous surgeon who came out of poverty and now and has performed these incredible surgeries of separating conjoined twins. Just a remarkable story of how much he accomplished. And his mother had a saying when she would come home. She was a single mom raising these children. And she'd come home if they were watching TV. She would say, if you'll turn off that TV, someday you'll be on TV.
But if you keep watching it,
you're never going to get anywhere because you're just consuming time. You're wasting money and wasting your life. So I love that axiom. It stuck with me. So not only do you have the benefit of saving money, but you can reinvest how you use your time when you're not being consumed in entertainment venues that really aren't going to make any difference in your life.
You really can. And interactive entertainment is so much greater in relationship building. You know, I know over Christmas, our family spent so much time with the Wii, just playing Rock Band and some of the other Wii games, and not a significant expense at all. And yet we spent so much time together and had fun and we laughed and had just an opportunity to see each other in a different environment than that day-to-day rushing back and forth.
Well, Sharon, you've got some tips that come from our late co-founder, Larry Burkett, and he set up some parameters that help people make wise decisions when they spend money.
And I'd really like to go into those. They are really the opportunity to think before you buy. So we've given some specifics in these categories of cell phone and entertainment, but these are broader principles that give you questions and answers that you can make wise decisions rather than making impulse decisions in 2010.
Well, we're going to talk about that list when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. More of How to Save Big in 2010. We'll be right back.
Struggling to pay your bills every month? Not sure where your money's going? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't always to make more money. Often it's learning to manage what God has already given you. And Crown Financial Ministries has something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes is one of the most advanced online money management systems ever. It will help you easily create a home budget online in a secure environment and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you how much you have left to spend in any budget category. You'll have access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley with Sharon Epps, and today we're talking about ways to save big in 2010. Sharon, you've got a list of your own that came from our late co-founder, Larry Burkett. Tell us about it.
I do. This list is really a motivational list that can be used for any category of purchases, but it helps you think before you buy. So whether it's your cell phone or your insurance that we were talking about in the earlier segment, or maybe it's a different category, clothing or food, it just helps you make wise purchases so that you can save big in 2010.
So the idea is to stop the spontaneous, out-of-control, help I'm spending the can't stop mentality.
It is. And it gives you that opportunity. In fact, I would even recommend to write these down on an index card and take it with you to the store so that you have the ability to ask the question when you're standing right in front of that item that you think you just can't pass up.
So this is just for women, right?
No, it applies to everybody.
I wish they could have seen you when I said that. You know, Larry used to say that the big difference between how a man spends and how a woman spends, do you remember this?
I don't.
He said the man spends on the big stuff that really blows the budget. The women just spends on a lot of little stuff.
That's probably an appropriate characterization in many households. That's
all right,
true.
What's number one on the list?
Well, the first one is just ask yourself the simple question. Is it necessary? Do I need this? And how often we stand in front of something and think that we just can't live without it. But if we stop and really say, is this important to my life on a daily basis? The answer is probably no.
And some things can be very practical that we think we need that we really don't need. For instance, on this cell phone issue, some people think, well, I need a plan with texting and internet access and all the bells and whistles. And really all you need is something that helps you through an emergency or stay in touch with your kids. And you really don't need a big loaded up plan.
You know what? That's such a good example. My husband got internet access on his phone only to find out that you really couldn't read the pages on the internet because the screen was so small. So that's a great example.
Well, it's an ultimate deal for the phone company because they charge you, it takes longer to download, and they're charging you for how much data that you use. So it's a killer deal for them.
Yeah, they charge by the minute. Well, there's so many things even around the house. I think from a woman's perspective, we want our house to be a comfortable, warm environment. And so in the store when we're shopping, so often we see things that we think would add to that environment, but they're really not necessary. And oftentimes we don't even have a good space to put them.
All right, number two on your list, after we've decided whether we need it or not.
Well, if we think we need it, does this purchase reflect my Christian ethic? And I know that sounds a bit severe, but is this purchase supporting a cause or a company that would not be a good witness for Christ? Is this purchase causing someone in my family to be uncomfortable either with the status of my lifestyle or just the message that it portrays? I think it's important to stop and think about that.
That is so very important. And oftentimes we buy brands to make a statement to other people, and they don't care what brand we have. Well, what are we thinking when we make those kind of choices?
And I think particularly with our children, that peer pressure comes at school, and it's a great time to teach them how to segregate and be different.
What's the third question?
The third question is this particular item the best buy? You know, stores understand our mentality, and so you'll find that those items that you walk by and see on the end caps are the ones that they are trying to get you to make an impulse decision on. And so they'll price them in such a way that it looks very attractive. But so many times I've gone home and looked on the internet and found that I could have purchased the same thing for the same or less in other places. So make sure that it is the best buy before you go ahead and purchase it.
Number four.
Number four is this an impulse item? Am I just doing this because I'm here in the moment and it sounds good or it looks good or it feels good? Or is it something that I've really planned? Is it something that I've identified the need ahead of time and I'm carrying out the plan versus does it just look good right now?
Have you ever made an impulse purchase that you regretted?
Oh, absolutely. Are you going to make me give my whole list?
Well, I thought we might be transparent here. I've done that.
Oh, very much so. One of my examples that is most embarrassing is one time I bought a shower curtain, brought it home, proudly showed it off to Joel and said, you know, isn't this cool? It was a complete impulse purchase. And he looked at me and he said, we only have shower doors. There's no place to put the curtain.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. Well, I remember one of mine. I purchased a BB gun for one of my children when they had their tonsils taken out. Wanted to carry it into the hospital and present it to them. And when my wife saw me coming in with this BB gun for a four-year-old, she said, what were you thinking?
Well, you know what? That leads beautifully to our next question, and that is, would my spouse agree with this decision? And if I'm about to purchase something that I know I will probably sneak into the closet when I get home, that's probably not a good purchase.
Yeah, that's a clear warning sign. What's another one?
Another one will it add or detract from our family? Is it something that takes me away from the family and makes me spend more time away from home? It could be a recreational vehicle that takes a lot of maintenance and upkeep. There are multiple things that could keep me away from the family. Does it add to my family environment or does it take away?
Well, yeah, that is a very important one because so often we lose family relationships and family dynamics because we're involved with things, and that's just so counterproductive. You got more?
I have a couple more. The next one is it a highly depreciable item? You know, particularly cars, valuable paintings, investment type art, those kinds of things often can be highly depreciable, and we don't really get the value from them that we were looking for. And especially in this category, if it is something that that meets our other filters and we decide it's something that we truly need, it's very important to shop and make sure you're getting the greatest value.
Okay, and one more.
And then the final one is, does it require costly upkeep? You know, that swimming pool that we're thinking about putting in, the boat that we're thinking about buying, all those things, how much additional cost will be there? You know, even things as simple as a new computer printer. Do we factor in the additional ink and paper and supplies and those kinds of things? Be sure we look at the all-in cost and not just the incremental cost of the purchase.
Well, those questions will certainly help you save big in 2010 if you will take the time to ask yourself those very important questions. Well, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more of Money Life.
You're always looking for ways to save money, right? That's why you clip coupons every week or spend hours looking for deals online. But are you getting the full benefit for your effort? The Couponizer is a way to organize, store, and access all your coupon finds and gift cards with a 22-pocket wire-bound booklet. Once you set it up, you'll be ready to go shopping anytime your busy schedule allows, and it's small enough for you to put it in your handbag and take it with you. The Couponizer system includes the Couponizer, the booklet Your Guide to Smart Savings by Amy Bergen, a pre-sorting mat that matches the categories in the Couponizer, a list pad for tracking your savings and spending, and more, all in a durable carrying bag. You can find out more about how the Couponizer works at crown.org, or you can call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org for the Couponizer.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Sharon, thanks for a good day. Lots of meaty content, and people are probably trying to write all this down so that they can start saving big in 2010. How can they get a hold of this content, find all those websites, and get the list of 8 questions to ask yourself before you spend money?
Well, we want you to go to crown.org/radio, click on related content, and you'll find this list to take with you wherever you go.
You know, Sharon, it's important to set a goal for how much money you want to save. And you've always seen people more successful when they set goals. Do you have any tips for goal setting around saving money?
I do. You know what I encourage you to do is just make a saving money list. And in every one of these categories where you make a decision to cut back, actually assign a dollar amount. So you want to say something like, my goal is to save $50 per month on food purchases, or my goal is to save $100 on entertainment. Add that up, and that's your target saving goal so that you have a specific pathway to reach that number.
Well, that is great information, Sharon. Thanks for being with us today. We have an upcoming tour that I'm so excited about, and I want to be the first to invite you personally to join us when we come with the God Provides Film Learning Experience to your area. Sharon, tell us about what we're going to be doing.
You know, in this time, we'll be showing 2 of the films from the God Provides series, and actually, you'll be there teaching. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say that God revealed in His Word to you as a part of this film series.
I look forward to that because it's a family-friendly environment. We're meeting in the evenings, Thursday, February the 11th, at Hebron Baptist Church. It starts at 7 and ends promptly at 8:30, so feel free to bring the kids. And then the week after that, we'll be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, February the 18th, hosted by Ridgedale Baptist Church.
We're so thankful for this partnership with the churches. We really want to encourage you to attend. There's no charge. We do ask that you register so that we'll know you're coming. If you'll go to crown.org/register, you'll be able to sign up, get directions, and other important information. We're looking forward to seeing you.
This is not a fundraising event. It's an opportunity for us to come to your area and to meet with you and to show you what God has been doing through our ministry. And what a great venue to engage the whole family, because films are relevant for everyone, whether you're 6 years old or 85 years old or older, come out and join us. I think you'll be blessed, and we really do want to see you.
And you know what? We want to encourage you that if you're not in the Atlanta or Chattanooga area, you can still participate in the God Provides Learning Experience. If you will go to crown.org/God Provides, you will find the opportunity to purchase both the learning experience in a box set or individual films. And what a great way to bring your family together to learn.
Sharon, I just received a voicemail this past week of someone who said it's the greatest tool they think we've ever created for reaching the next generation. It's been very, very effective. Well, I want to thank you for joining us on this journey. Thanks for listening today. We hope you've been encouraged. You've been listening to Money Life. We'll be back again tomorrow.